many times phones go off at church, right? It'd be really bad if I let mine go off. But anybody that knows me should know where I am right now, right? Anybody that knows you should know where you are tonight. So, yes. So, it is our midweek service, and so I was out on Sunday, and so just want to remind you that you guys have a great associate pastor and preach and tries to take care of you guys, and so Phil's doing a great job. I know he doesn't like hearing it, but it makes me feel that I can go off and do what I need to do and fundraising and preach in other places, and that I know that I can leave it here and Phil has it. So continue to keep supporting him. Amen. All right. So tonight we're going to be in 1 Samuel. That didn't sound very good. Amen. Amen. All right. There you go. All right. So we're going to be in 1 Samuel tonight, chapter 28. So there's times in our, all of us come to places in our lives where we have to make decisions. And some of our decisions isn't just, do I want to put salt on my food, or do I want a Pepsi or Mountain Dew, or do I want this or that? But there's times in our lives when we have big moments where we have to make decisions and we have to make choices. And those are those life crossroad moments. And so what I'm going to do is, I was hoping to be able to do this in one service, one message, but I got to divide it. I wanted to share with you two different people who knew each other, how one chose to do it one way and one chose to do something a different way. So I want to talk to you tonight about making bad choices. And tomorrow or next week, I'm going to talk to you, next Wednesday, I'm talking about the guy who decided to make, he was in a bad situation, but he chose to make good choices. And we're going to look how these turned out. So we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 28. And so the two characters I want to talk about tonight is David, who is not king, but will be king. It's been prophesied that he's going to be king. He's been anointed to be the future king. But the king in the moment right now is King Saul. King Saul has turned into a hot mess. His life is a mess. He's chasing after David, and David is in areas he's trying to hide. So many times Saul tried to kill him, but something is happening right now. So we're going to talk about how this situation is getting deeper and harder. And we're going to dive into that tonight. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to work on 1 Samuel chapter 28 tonight. Father, Lord, give us words tonight. Give us ears to hear what we need to hear tonight. Give us eyes to see and give us understanding. And even with the hard, a little bit difficult verses here tonight, may we take it in. And if we don't get it all made tonight, that we get something that we may grow spiritually tonight. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So what we're going to look here, just a couple of verses here just to get us ready. It says in verse 1, at that time, the Philistines gathered their military units into one army to fight against Israel. And so King Saul is the king of Israel. And so Achish said to David, you know, of course, that you and your men must march out in the army with me. But David replied to Achish, good, you will find out what your servant can do. So Achish said to David, very well, I will appoint you as my permanent bodyguard. Here's the thing, we're talking about David. There's some things getting set in place for him, and now we're done talking about David, okay? But we're going to talk about David next week. These two characters, things are happening simultaneously, and there's a little bit of space between them, and you're going to see God working in both of their lives, and both of them are going to come at a crossroads where they are going to have one of the biggest decisions that they're going to make. And so here we find out, now we move in here, talking about Saul tonight. By this time, Samuel had died. That is the prophet of Israel. The prophet is the man that God has chosen, he was anointed. It's a really cool story how all that happened. Got to go all the way back in the beginning of this book, how he was born and all that stuff. But God chose Samuel. He's the man he's going to speak through as a prophet to the kings, to the people of the land. And so when he walked around, some people feared him. Some people wanted to see him. But many of them just feared him, but because God would speak through him. And he would give the king prophecy pieces that God would reveal to him. But Samuel now has died. And so all of Israel had mourned for him and buried him in Ramah, his city. And Saul had removed the mediums and spiritless from the land. And the Philistines gathered and camped at Shunem. And so Saul gathered all Israel and they camped in Gilboa. When Saul saw the Philistine camp, he was afraid and his heart pounded. He inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him in dreams or by the Urim or by the prophets. So Saul then said to the servants, Find me a woman who is a medium, and I will go and consult her. His servants replied, there is a woman in Endor who is a medium. So let's break this down for a minute. So here it is. Samuel has died. He is gone. He is buried. Now Saul is struggling. It says here that he has come to this place where he is afraid. Now the problem is he's afraid, but Saul has always been afraid. Saul back in 1 Samuel chapter 17, when he was facing the Philistines and the giant Goliath, fear was upon the King Saul and his men. But we do see something. There is one good thing that he did. He outlawed the mediums. He outlawed witchcraft. So anybody that was sorcerer, mediums are people who claim to speak to the dead. Okay? So we're going to talk about. So with all of that, we see that that was made illegal. Okay? But really, why was it illegal? Let me share a couple of things. Leviticus, God gives Moses some laws, and when some of them are concerning mediums and witchcraft and those things. But I just want to read two of them to you tonight. In Leviticus 19:31, it says, do not turn to mediums or consult spiritualists, or you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. So God is saying back in the day, he said, this is a law. You don't mess with people who do mediums, witchcraft, sorcery, or any of those things. In Deuteronomy, there's also another one in 18:10-11. He said, no one among you is to sacrifice his son or daughter to the fire. Practice divination, tell fortunes, interpret omens, practice sorcery, cast spells, consult a medium or a spiritualist, or inquire of the dead. God can, there's four or five other ones where God just said he shuts that door down. But today in America, people still do it. There's supposed to be considered like 102, 103 places in the United States that you can go, and those people will, you give them money, and they will claim that they can consult the dead. The problem is, it's not really, but the thing is, if this was a lie and was fake, I don't believe God would have put it in here. I believe it is true. I believe these things can happen. We'll see a little bit of that, but this mediums are people who speak to the dead. God does not want people to speak to the dead. And so, so we see this piece here. So Saul outlaws it. He outlaws it. Nobody can go see a medium. No one can go see a witch or anything like that. And so here it is, but he is beginning to stress. He is in fear. So when Saul saw the Philistine camp, he was afraid and his heart pounded. Boom, boom, boom. Fear takes over. When fear takes over, it can take over your mind. It can take over your impulses. You can do a lot of things. That's why God says he did not give us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. The spirit of fear is a dangerous thing to have. Paul tells Timothy that in 2 Timothy, I think it's in verse 1, stir up the flame that's in you. Stir up that fire, son. Stir it up. God did not give you the spirit of fear, but he gives you the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. But here it is. Saul has a spirit of fear. He inquired of the Lord, but he did not answer. What? He inquired of the Lord, and he did not answer. So here's where we struggle a little bit. Do you ever pray to the Lord? Yes. You pray to the Lord. I pray to the Lord, right? And so do you inquire of the Lord? Yes. I call Lord on by name, and I'm going to spend some time and pray with him and those kind of things. And here it is. He expected God to answer. Even though this guy's running in fear, many of us, we pray, but we don't expect God to answer. Why is that? God answers in some ways that seem a little odd. What was the first one? He said, God, the Lord did not answer him in dreams. Back in the day, God would speak to the kings in dreams. He did that with Nebuchadnezzar. God would speak to men like he spoke to Jacob through dreams. He spoke through different people, Daniel through dreams, Joseph. God spoke through a lot of people in dreams. So it wasn't something he did it with Solomon. It wasn't something that was abnormal. God would do these kind of things. But also says, that God would speak to by the prophets. But the prophet here is dead. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do? But also it says, he said he did not answer him by the Urim. Now that would be a breastplate piece that the priest would wear. And I don't know, there's all kinds of things they say. Some of them say there were jewels on it that would light up at certain things or whatever it would do. Somehow in that breastplate, God would speak. I don't know how. It's not a whole lot on that, but it does say that it's the thing where God would speak through that breastplate. What? So there's three things that he says. He did inquire of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him in dreams or by the Urim or by the prophets. So here's the thing. Saul is in a moment where he wants something. So he's going to make a bad decision. He's going to make a bad choice. He says, well, God's not speaking to me in dreams. And the Urim's not going to happen. That's not happening. And there's no prophet right now. The prophets aren't telling me anything. The prophets aren't saying anything. But there is a prophet that I know. How am I going to force it? One thing is when we walk with the Lord, we got to remember we need to have some patience. God doesn't always answer immediately. But here's the problem with that. Sometimes we think God is always waiting all the time. No, sometimes God is not. We're waiting on God to move. We need to pray. We need to wait on God to move. Let me tell you, it is good to pray. But also God answers prayer. There are churches that are still praying to make a decision. And they are afraid to really follow what God has called them to do because they're afraid to step out in faith. And so what's it say? He said, what he does, then he said to his servants, he said, find me a woman, okay, who is a medium. Basically, find me a witch, okay? He said, find me a witch. Isn't it something? I'm going to make a law for everybody else, but when I want to break it, I'm allowed to break it, okay? So, but really, it wasn't really his law, was it? Whose law was it? It was God's law. He put it in Deuteronomy, Leviticus. And so it is. He was doing a good thing back then. And now he's going to do something. He says, so I can go and consult her. He says, I want to go and consult her. I want to talk to the witch. Okay? Now, the funny thing here is, in the end of this verse, it says, and the servants, not a servant, but the servants replied, hey, there's a woman in Endor. She's the medium. What? How'd you guys know that so fast? Yeah. How'd you know that so fast? Didn't even have to go out and do an investigation. Hey, we know. We already know where the witch is. We already know here it is. It's in Endor. Wow, isn't that something? They already knew. Just because it's illegal doesn't mean people don't know where it is, right? Just because it's something bad doesn't mean people don't know where it is. It reminds me a little bit of the scripture when you look up in the book of Acts where a bunch of these people got saved. A whole bunch of them got saved. And basically they all started coming out and they were supposed to be decent people and they all started coming out and they were putting all their witchcraft books and all their occult stuff out in the big old pile and they burned it. And it was talking about how big and massive that pile was. And you walk in that city and it probably looked pretty nice and decent and didn't realize what was behind everybody's closed doors was some evil things. And so here it is. Saul is going to make a really bad decision. And this is what happens with us sometimes. We get ready to make. We get impatient. We want to do something now. I want it now. And so, especially if you come out of the world of addiction, you got to remember you have a habit of wanting it now. You got a habit of everything now, now, now. Be pain, no patience. And that one, even if you get sobriety, you get clean. You got to be careful not to have that same mentality. That you got to have it now. I want it now. It's got to be now. And I have no patience. Because when you have no patience and you want it now and you are still drooling over whatever it is, you want to make the decision, you will most likely make the wrong choice. You will do something you said you are never going to do. I don't think Saul intended that he ever thought, oh, I'm going to consult a witch one day. Matter of fact, he outlawed them. It was already the law of God, but he outlawed them and made it even stronger for the people, because people were just pushing God's word away anyway. But he made it a law through the land, so if you can get it, you can be put to death for that. But now he's in a spot, he's at a crossroads, and he's making a very bad decision. We're gonna share a couple things with him. See, Saul is really, he's really messed up. So when you're at a crossroads and you want to make a decision, most likely you will probably make a bad decision again and again and again until you get yourself on the right road. Now here's what it is. Back just a few chapters back, you know what Saul does? He is looking for David, he's angry, and he has 85 priests killed. No wonder why God's not speaking to him through a prophet. No wonder why God's not speaking to him through the Urim. No wonder why God's not speaking. He killed 85 prophets, 85 priests. And when you start making bad decisions, you'll go from one to another, and it's a domino effect until it comes and it crashes and burns. This is his night. He don't even realize it. This is becoming the end of the road for Saul. So here it is. Let's dive into this piece. Let's dive into this conversation here. Saul disguised himself by putting on different clothes and set out with two of his men. That's not a good thing either, right? I'm the king. I'm going to hide what I am, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to a dark place in town, and I'm going to consult a witch, and they're going to come with me. They came to the woman at night, and again, nothing good happens at night most of the time, right? And so they came to the woman at night. Why? Why did he go at night? Because he's trying to conceal himself. He's trying to conceal what he's getting ready to do. He was disguised as a different person, and now he's going at night. And they came up to the woman at night, and Saul said, "Consult a spirit for me. Bring up me the one I tell you." But the woman said to him, "You surely know what Saul has done, how he has cut off the mediums and the spiritualists from the land. Why are you setting a trap for me to kill me?" She knows the law. She knows, hey, there's a law out here. Why are you coming to me? Because if I do this, I'm going to get in trouble and then I'm going to be put to death. Everybody knows that law. Verse 10 says, though, "Then Saul swore to her by the Lord, 'As surely as the Lord lives, no punishment will come to you from this.'" We got to be careful how we use the Lord's name, right? Yeah. "But as surely as the Lord lives," he says, "no punishment will come to you. Who is this you want me to bring up for you?" Do you notice how quick she was ready to do it? Some people just love to do evil things. Some of us live with our head in the roses. Basically, nothing crazy happens around us in our world. But let me remind you: this world is dark. There's evil in it. There is beautiful things in the world. There is the light of the gospel. There's hope and there's love. There's compassion. But there's also evil things in the world. And the Bible even says that men love evil. Men love darkness. And she says, "Who do you want me to get? Who do you want me to pull up?" It's a way to make money, right? It's going to make some money. I got to make some money here, right? She don't know what's about ready to happen. Then Saul swore to her by the Lord, "Surely as the Lord lives, no punishment will come to you for this. Who is it you want me to bring up for you?" The woman asked. "Bring up Samuel for me," he answered. Now I'm telling you, she knows who Samuel is. She knows who Samuel is. Anybody that a prophet in those days, everyone knew. Even people in other countries knew who most of the prophets of God were. And verse 12 says, "When the woman saw Samuel, she screamed, and then she asked Saul, 'Why did you deceive me? You are Saul.'" Now, as we get into this piece here, what we find out is there's two different ideas. There's a couple of different ideas, and I'll just talk to you about a couple of them. One is people believe that this is really a demonic piece that is working through the woman, because the laws of God were saying that you can't seek out a medium or the witchcraft, sorcery, or thing. So some people believe that this is a piece where this is a demon working through, because the Bible says that Satan masquerades as an angel of light. So some people will use that and say that this is a moment where he is just in total darkness, and this is where demonic is working. You want to play with demonic things will happen. That is true. However, there's another side to it that says that no, there is some demonic issues here, but God overrules, and God is using this moment to allow the prophet Samuel to speak. Before we make a decision, let's read on. Sound good? Sound good? The Bible's got a lot to say. Okay. This is a story that most people just kind of read over or never read. So you get, some of you, maybe it's the first time. Go back and reread it and you'll even get more. But the king said, now it's switched over to not to Saul, but now the king. Because everybody knows who it is. It's King Saul, right? Let's just forget it. Don't have to call me. Now it's the king, right? So he says, she says, you deceive me. You are Saul. Now it just comes out. But the king said to her, don't be afraid. What do you see? He has got his mind set. I want to talk to Samuel. I want to remind you that God sees everything. God sees what's happening here. And I see a spirit form coming up out of the earth, the woman answered. Now, is it true or is it not? Let's read on. Then Saul asked her, what is it? What does it look like? What does he look like? What does he look like? This is not really a good place to be, trying to pull up the dead. It's not a good place to be, okay? It's not a good place to be to having this conversation. And so an old man is coming up, she replied. He's wearing a robe. Then Saul knew that it was Samuel, and he knelt low and his face to the ground and paid homage. Okay, now we get into some things here. He says, Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? Samuel asked Saul. Now, some people still believe that that is a demonic being speaking through. This is a demonic being. I don't believe it is. I believe that this is where God is allowing something to happen. People say, how will God do that? Well, let's be reminded that we can look through the past. We can look through all of the past when God put a hand upon the wall in the book of Daniel and wrote on the wall. And we see the handwriting on the wall. We see other things where Jacob had a dream and we saw this whole thing of a ladder going up into heaven. We see God opening up the Red Sea. We see God making a staff into a snake that would devour other snakes. We see all the plagues of Exodus. We see God doing all kinds of things. Let's not think that God can't do something. Okay? Even rising people up from the dead, you'll see a lot. You'll see even in 2 Kings 4 and 5, you'll see that there's some chapters in there where a dead son came back to life. You'll see Lazarus. Jesus raised the dead there. Another young man had died. They were having a funeral, and Jesus raised that guy up too as well. So God can do these things, allow these things to happen for whatever reason. God has his reasons. But it says here that it replied that it was Samuel. So he says, I am in serious trouble. Of course you are. Of course you are. You're in serious trouble. Here's the thing. He is a king. A king could do things, and it really was nothing illegal really that he could do. He's the king. A king really could do anything. Back in these days, a king could have people killed, and he could do what he wanted to do. Back in the day, a new king would be set in place, kings of other lands, all that, and basically they'd look and say, well, I got a brother and a bunch of nephews over there. I'm going to have them all wiped out. I'm going to have them all killed in the midnight hour so that they don't try to get my throne. Who's going to rebel against them? You see it a few times, but it feels like he's not breaking any laws. He sets the laws. That's what he thinks. We're going to get to some of that here in a minute. He says, I'm in serious trouble, replied Saul. The Philistines are fighting against me, and God has turned away from me. How many of y'all ever felt like God has turned away from you? When you feel like God has turned away from you, do not go in this direction and make bad choices. The Philistines are fighting against me, and God has turned away from me. He doesn't answer me. anymore, either through the prophets or in dreams. So I've called on you to tell me what I should do, to tell me what I should do. It is good to seek godly counsel, isn't it? It's good to seek godly counsel. It's good to find someone that's walking their life the best way, you know, in a good way before the Lord. And it's good to get advice, because sometimes, I got friends, I got peers, then I can say, hey, I got some choices to make, and I just, will you partner with me to pray on some things? Will you, this is what's going on, and you, sometimes, you know, you gotta be careful who you let hear your story, what you got, but also, you know, you gotta be careful who you let speak into your life, and right now, he's let a witch speak into his life, and now he's got this conversation happening, and he says, God's not answering me. He doesn't love me anymore. He's cut me off, da da da. So I've called on you to tell me what I should do. You see, he had 85 priests put to death, and he never repented. He never said he was sorry. He did other things. He had people killed. He done this and that. He tried to kill David several times. He did a couple of times when he apologized. I shouldn't have done it, David. You're like my son. Because he was his son-in-law. And yet it wasn't just a few moments later. He'd go back and do it again. Just because people say they're sorry doesn't mean they're really sorry. And there's when you're running a race and you're going down a path and it's dark and it's heavy and it's messy, there's an end. If you don't get off that path, there is an end. Here's what happens. Samuel answered. Here's what he says. Since the Lord has turned away from you. These are the scriptures where I truly believe it is from God. Okay. And you can make the decision for yourself. But he says, Samuel answered. Since the Lord has turned away from you and has become your enemy, why are you asking me? The Lord has done exactly what he said through me. There was some previous prophetic pieces. And the Lord has torn this kingship out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David. And he knew that, right? That's why he wanted to kill David. Not going to take my kingship. You did not obey the Lord and did not carry out his burning anger against the Amalekites. Now there's a big piece here when everything started going south. God said, I want you to go to Amalek and I want you to destroy everything. 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 And we're going to come back to that too. Some of this is going to come back to me. So here it is. The Lord has torn the kingship out. Here it is. Therefore the Lord has done this to you today. Here it is, the prophetic piece. The Lord will also hand Israel over to the Philistines, along with you. Now he just said he's going to go to battle. He's afraid of who? He's afraid of the Philistines. Here he is. He says, the Lord is going to turn you over to the Philistines. Israel and you. Tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. What? You and your sons will be with me. And the Lord will hand Israel's army over to the Philistines. What does that mean? You're going to be with me. You're going to be dead. This is why I truly believe that this is a prophetic word of God. Prophetic peace. This is what happens. Saul is here. He's doing his thing. He falls down. He's got some issues. He's struggling. He's a mess. Mentally, he is all over the place. They finally get him to eat, and then it ends up in verse 25. She served him some food, so she served it to Saul and his servants, and they ate. Afterwards, they got up, and they left at night. They didn't stay over. They left at night. And here's what we find out here. Over here in chapter 31. In chapter 31, we're going to see. The next day, here it is, a couple days here. When the next day in verse 8, the next day when the Philistines came to strip the slain, they found Saul and his three sons dead on Mount Gilboa. Remember when we first started this message, where was he at? In Gilboa, right? Here it is. They're there. He's got three sons, Jonathan and his other two, and they're dead. And it says this, they cut off Saul's head and they stripped off his armor. Isn't it funny when you really, you know, what's the difference between a person who makes a $20,000 a year and a person who gets $20 million a year? I don't think there's either one of them having money or what. It doesn't matter to me, but the person over here is probably wearing something from Walmart, and this person over here is probably wearing Armani suits, maybe a Lamborghini, maybe a yacht, maybe four or five houses, and this person over here is working day to day. This person over here is doing whatever they're doing. What is the difference? When you strip it all away, everything they got, it's just two people. God's not impressed by what they have. It's who they are. And it's who they are in Christ. And here we find out, Saul is stripped of all those things. And they cut his head off. And it says, they cut off his, and they took off his armor and sent messengers throughout the land of the Philistines to spread the good news. That was good news in the temples of their idols and among the people. And then they put his armor in the temple of the Ashtaroth and hung his body on the wall of Bethshan. And there's some other things happens here. Why did he die? Was it why? Because he killed the 85 priests? That's what I would think. Nope. Why? Well, it's funny. Bible tells us. Bible tells us a lot if we read it, right? Here's what he says here. He says this in First Chronicles. First Chronicles 10 tells us why Saul died. Here it is. First Chronicles 10:13 says, Saul died for his unfaithfulness to the Lord, because he did not do what God told him to do to the Amalekites. Do you remember? You think, well, God never does that. Go back. Let's go back a little bit further. Let's go back to Joshua. Right? They did really good in Jericho, didn't they? But in the next city, they didn't. They didn't do. Somebody took something. The sin of Achan. They took things, and God says, I don't want you to take anything. And basically, they were unfaithful. So Saul died because of his unfaithfulness to the Lord. And what else? Because he did not keep the Lord's word. He even consulted a medium for guidance. What is it? What does it mean? What it means is, he killed 85 priests. He killed a lot of people. God's not dying for that. Here's what we do. We think all the things that we do in this world, we have laws for it, they're all bad. You can go to prison for 20, 50 years. You can go to prison for life. You can go to prison. Your life can be taken away, whatever it is. But here it is. We think that stuff is up here. And because we disobey God, it's down here. No. When we disobey God, that's not a good thing. I'm not saying these other things, we shouldn't be doing those things either. But this is why he died. Because when we step away from God, we're in trouble. He went, he disobeyed, he was unfaithful, and he consulted, he consulted a medium who speaks to the dead, and he said, you can't do that. And that puts a wedge between a man and God. That puts a wedge, it puts a splinter in your relationship with the Lord. And so here it is. We see the end of a man's life because he chose to do things his own way. Now, when we choose to do things as a believer, he believed in God, but he wasn't following God. The Bible says that God disciplines those whom he loves. God was angry. He was angry with Saul. And there's even some hard scriptures in there where God even took the spirit out of Saul. God was angry with Saul. But what did the prophet say? The prophet said, tomorrow you and your boys are going to be with me. You're going to be with me. There's a lot of Christians not living the way God wants them to. And sometimes God is quiet. But the Bible tells us we need to seek after the Lord. Scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. Yeah. Acknowledge Him. And He says, He'll make your path straight, right? Trust the Lord with all your ways. Trust the Lord with all your life. Right? It's what we're supposed to do. When you're in trouble, you lift your eyes up to the hills and ask, where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord, the Creator of heaven and earth. And why do we... And then we don't hear anything. That doesn't say turn and run another direction. The Bible says that God so loved the world, right, that He gave His only Son. I think God is a patient God. I think God is a compassionate God. But don't test Him. You have one life to live, and you need to live it for the Lord. Don't get involved in dark things. We've had people in this church that's got involved with witchcraft. I don't see them here. We've had people that's got involved with things they should not have got involved in. We push them all out the door, but we're still called to love them, but sometimes we have to love them from a distance. We need to pray for them. If God's not answering their prayer, listen, we need to be praying for them. Because this Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So if you want to intercede on someone where God doesn't seem like He's answering their prayers, you can intercede, but I'm going to tell you, it's going to be work. Because you're going to, I don't know if you ever, anybody ever beg before the Lord? You plead your case before the Lord? You plead something before the Lord? Yeah. It's okay. It's okay. As I said, I'll give two stories. This is the story of the bad choices, the bad decisions. He had everything he could have everything he wanted. But he was disobedient. Disobedient. And I think sometimes it's very easy for us also to sway if we start making decisions without the Lord. But Father, Lord, as we make a moment, we know that we need to make decisions with You, not without You. And even though it seems like You may not be listening sometimes, Lord, we know that You are because Your Spirit is in us if we're believers. But it's okay, Lord, when we don't hear You. We are called to be faithful on the good days and the bad days. We're called to pray on the good days and the bad days. And when we get impatient, Lord, sometimes we make bad decisions and choices, and there is consequences to those bad decisions and bad choices, such as Saul's. Lord, have mercy upon us. May we have a heart to draw back to You. In Jesus' name, amen.